Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Wrestle Culture. It's the lies of Dave Meltzer, Y2J is a stooge, and Moxley said he wouldn't lay down for me. I am old, I am tired and working with f***ing kids, but I've never seen Rocky or Son. Eye of the Tiger. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Phil James and Michael Hamflet from What Culture.
Got higher and higher and higher and higher.
I started in the wrong place. Yeah. Bang myself into a corner here. It's because all the going on in wrestling this week. Yeah, that's what we do, isn't it? Yeah. But before we get into it, all the blood's rushed to my head. Yeah.
You go very, very pink and then very, very pale.
But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT Dubai. Oh! We Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a very good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Phil and Hamflet. And I'll be honest, this time yesterday, aside from maybe a little bit of speculation about CM Punk becoming All Elite again, my plan was to have a very much sort of penultimate Wrestle Culture before WrestleMania podcast. Mm-hmm. And then someone decided to post something on Instagram, inexplicably delete it because it needs to be up for, 3 seconds if you're famous? And someone will have screenshot it.
Yeah.
And, Andy used a great phrase on the news, scorched earth. I think it's fair to say there was maybe a way for him to come back to AEW despite everything that happened with Brawl Out. And it seemed to, you and Andy had barely finished the news report on this speculation about him potentially eventually coming back once he's cleared and what have you. And then even that drops and, the Meltzer thing with everything, and he's shooting on Moxley and Meltzer and Jericho. There's no going back from here, is there?
There's probably no going back from here, which is why I want it more than ever. I want CM Punk f***ing up in that locker room more than ever before. Jericho, you, John Moxley, fuck you, Jericho, fuck you again. MJF, ideally don't fuck you, but for goodness sake, there's not many people left at the top of that card that at this point haven't been effed.
Yes.
By CM Punk's possible return. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. The power's back.
The
power today is CM Punk. I love it. I absolutely love this. So everything is speculation, isn't it? Everything is just taking all of these different people at their different words, trying to decode the wrestler speak and deciding what bits you like, what bits you don't. I'm going to maybe go against type here. I think Punk is telling the truth about John Moxley.
Agent Ambrose.
I love Moxley, love him. But the story at the time, if you remember, was that Moxley was the one that pitched the Flash Dynamite finish.
Yeah, I remember.
To set up the rematch at the pay-per-view, which at the time was kind of presented as this, we're going to experiment with how we sell this match rather than just doing the straight-up title-for-title pay-per-view match. And in the end, hindsight probably wasn't very kind to that as a plan before CM Punk just incinerated everything at the press conference anyway. But it did feel a bit weird. It felt a bit off.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this? I obviously just thought it was a good idea. And even then, it was a bit like protecting yourself before you, potentially lose to a guy that you're now concerned is slightly more out than he was in.
Yeah.
Like a shrewd political move by John Moxley. And it makes me think Punk has taken this to be, as CM Punk does, just like when he watched that Hangman Page video and completely misconstrued what it meant by, I don't take advice of legends. I think he's heard, well, I think we should do this before we do this. He's on, you're not going to lose to me, what? I believe that is what CM Punk believes has gone through the Instagram filter that is his angry brain, and out has come this take. I 100% think he's telling the truth when he calls Chris Jericho Stooge a liar. What else did he hit on in that particular post? That was about it.
He said the same about Meltzer, and even we talked a lot about this as well on the Rampage preview, so I won't be saying too much about it here. But Sidgwick did touch on the fact that some, whatever human feelings, and obviously Dave Meltzer, we utilise his reporting a lot, so we're not going to besmirch him too much, but I think it's fair to say, if you read The Observer, elements of some of the reports that come out do tend to shine a more positive light on Y2J.
Yeah, there was a tiny bit, because obviously this was all very late on the Thursday this drops. It's hard
Typical for us, hard
for Meltzer to get copy in time, wasn't there? There was that. He had tried to investigate this and he reached out for comment, and all he got was apparently from an unnamed source that, like, regardless of what CM Punk's done, Chris Jericho's a sexy bitch.
Yeah. And like, quite crack that code. It was all, yeah, a bit weird. There was Y2J in there somewhere, but
something
it was
buried in the Dynamite thing about how CM Punk didn't beat The Rock and Steve Austin on the same night. And Meltzer's right about that. He's not lying about that. No, Meltzer's...
Also, buy Fuzzy albums.
Meltzer's great. CM Punk believes what he has said to be 100% true. Even if some of that can probably be refuted. I always think CM Punk believes what he is saying is 100%
yeah.
true,
yeah,
even when potentially it's not. I think he has the courage of his convictions. I just think sometimes his convictions are slightly misplaced.
Yes.
It's a fabulous bit of business.
He has his blinkers on and he refuses to change his mind about anything until he's said his mind, goddammit. He's going to say his piece. My favourite thing about this is literally like hours after his like comment on Instagram again about the thing in the book about like two people getting together backstage and squashing the beef and like a good story about that. And then it's like straight away, we're back. And we're back. We're back to normal CM Punk. Normal content has been resumed. The chaos is back.
The framing as well. You forget this. But his ability, like on a technicality at the moment, to frame this as I'm recovering from injury rather than I'm not on AEW television because did you see what happened last summer?
Yeah.
Like in his mind, the idea that he can frame this as, well, yeah, when I'm fully recovered, I'll probably just come back.
Yeah.
It's that easy, is it? Like everything that has gone down, it's just carnage. Like I tweeted this yesterday, but I think it's just a gut feeling with him. And I understand if people don't have it because I want them to understand that I do. You either feel Punk is worth the trouble or you don't. And I just don't. I don't believe there's an in-between. I think it's a gut feeling as a wrestling fan. And it sort of explains why his value is so high,
yes.
I think. Because the wrestling fans, and I do include myself in this, that believe he is always worth the hassle, kind of can't be brought down from that. He has kind of got like a magic power over me as a wrestler. Like, he does stuff to me. Is it intangible? It's the it factor. It's all that sort of stuff that you look for. And I think loads of fans have it, and I think that is value. But if you don't feel like that for him, of course, which you're entitled to do, you must be looking at the situation thinking, what's all the headaches for? What's the point in any of this? Not least when, like, the Elite are back in full focus on Dynamite and their story is taking center stage, and for their fans, I like the Elite, but, like, specifically their mega fans will just be feeling awesome. Here we go, Elite, Elite, Elite. This feels like the worst time for Punk to walk back, and they'll be thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, he's going to try and burn all this down to the ground again. I'm thinking, I want to watch the flames. But there's just, it's really hard to sort of articulate and explain why you see the value in that if somebody doesn't.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, it does feel, the amount of times we get told off for comparing WWE to AEW, I'm going to do the opposite here and probably get in just as much trouble. It does feel sort of WWE-esque that, and this was a particular thing under the later days of Vince McMahon, and I'm not drawing comparisons or anything like that, obviously, but like, you remember they do something and you'd be like, wow, that's great. They've put on this great match or pay-per-view or angle or promo or whatever, and then that would immediately be lost in the conversation because something weird's happened backstage or, and we'll talk about Naomi in a bit, and they were completely right in what they did, but like Sasha and Naomi have walked out of Monday Night Raw or whatever. We had what? 18 hours to say, wow, that was probably one of the best main events in Dynamite history. And that's gone in the wind now, that ain't it? No one's talking about that.
Yeah.
And it's exactly like the MJF winning the title All Out.
Yes.
It's the exact same thing. And then here comes Punk with his big mouth and he's going to ruin everything for everyone. And I'm 100% with Hamlet on this one. Like, I want him back in anything involving wrestling.
Yeah.
He has to be somewhere because it's just... it brings too much conversation. It brings too much discourse. It brings eyes to the product. Like, no matter what you think of CM Punk, the ratings dropped when he disappeared off Dynamite. He just did. He's a needle mover in a way of bringing eyes to the product and putting butts in seats, but also in just bringing conversation to the product. Mm-hmm. Whether it's good or bad can be very much debated. Like, obviously, the all-out conversation that came about the product maybe wasn't the best conversation, but it was still conversation about it. And I like you exactly, just love the chaos behind it all. Like, more of this sort of thing, please.
Here's the question. Despite how things were in the immediate aftermath of All Out, is now the closest CM Punk has ever been to returning to WWE since he left?
Well, I don't think so. In my head, I would have said yes previously until yesterday when all of this conversation came back up, because when CM Punk speaks, everybody listens and suddenly speaks about CM Punk. He's that guy. He is him. There was a discussion kicking around in some of the darker circles of wrestling Twitter where there was references to like the idea that maybe Punk and William Regal aren't on fabulous terms. It's all super speculation. Speaking, there's no reports, there's no nothing. It's just people putting two together. They might be making five. I'm not so sure they are. But Regal was a very, very close confidant of Triple H. And Punk and Regal maybe not being great together suggests that that's somehow linked to how Punk still feels maybe about Triple H and about the toll that WWE took on him ultimately. And you just think, well, like, even if it's not full Triple H and we are getting more and more Vince McMahon, still quite a lot of him. It's both of them, like, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And you're walking back into the thing you felt like you had to walk away from. I don't know. Maybe it's a money thing. Maybe it's a WrestleMania main event thing down the road. I don't know. I'd love any version of it. I'm with Phil. Punk back is better than Punk not in wrestling. I believe it as an industry is better with him part of it.
Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't even think of that. Two things. Number one, if only there was a show that WWE put on where Triple H wasn't in creative control. Think of it. He just smacked him. But there was another excellent show that could utilize his talents. I didn't think of that as well. I've thought about obviously them saying to Punk, "How would you like the WrestleMania main event as a olive branch or whatever?" Do you think this is maybe me getting far too carried away here? Do you think not just saying to Punk, "How would you like the WrestleMania main event," but also saying, "How would you like a 10, 20, 30, 40. Think about what people say about WrestleMania 10's main event, WrestleMania 20's main event, 30, you know, like all the... You could be one of them, Phil. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what would make this even more hilarious and absolutely perfect for the entire story of what CM Punk has been is if he came back to WWE and then he main evented Mania with Cody next year.
That's always been WWE
that would
getting
just be hilarious.
Them getting Punk and Cody is the wildest thing, isn't it? Like the prospect of them having that. It's just like that's I thought this year. I did an article this week, it's an excuse for cheap plug, on why I don't think people should be so frightened of the prospect of Goldberg going to AEW.
And talk about that,
you know, friendly guy in that. 2022 was the year where, like if you remember reviewing the year at the end of the year when we did all the content, it's like this was like that anything can happen year that kind of was always in the ether from when AEW launched, but hadn't yet really happened until it did. And then we suddenly started seeing it, like AEW launching felt like a second company, but it takes a few years and the pandemic and all the rest of it. 2023, I think, should be where like the challenger brand, AEW, makes decisions that previously wouldn't have been part of its core ethos.
Yeah.
And I included Goldberg as one of them. You could have that, and they'd be like, right, it's going to be our year to show you that anything can happen on our end as well. And then Punk going to WWE would be like, no, it's ours again. The conversation is ours again. That, like, the wrestlers that we can weaponize against either side, this big one is ours again, and all that kind of thing. It's the same sort of conversation as Kenny potentially going to WWE.
Yeah.
Which suddenly seems redundant the second he seems featured on AEW television.
Yes.
After this week, not once have I considered the prospect, whereas when he was in the trio stuff, farting around, I was like, maybe he's kind of like winding down in AEW. And that feels redundant now, but yeah, Punk in WWE would be almost like them batting back AEW's attempt to capture 2023.
And he could go back there with FTR.
He could indeed and run that.
Interesting development that on telly as well this week. I love the way they've sort of wrapped that around reality, basically.
Yeah.
Like, we'll leave, and you're like, normally, oh, yeah, very good. Okay, cool, so you're winning. I don't know now.
It's always been a question mark for quite a while with FTR, with how they've been used in AEW as well, though. It's like, it's not exactly a new thing. But just before we leave the Punk thing, like, I think it was, like, talking about him going to WWE is, like, amazing and stuff. But, like, I think it was still quite telling that in part of this Instagram thing, he still had the little dig at WWE of the, I will never put my my health over a company, yeah, or a company over my health ever again. Like, that was still a little bit of a dig at WWE. Yeah. Like, that wound is still sore, yeah, for CM Punk.
It's almost like he doesn't forgive and forget easily.
Almost, yeah. He's good at holding grudges, this guy. Real good at it.
He has seen people, probably, if he's watching the brand he's going to jump to, get touched and vomit up goo, though. So, you know.
Yeah, I'd be quite concerned. Like, there does that.
Punkle howdy. Oh.
You've saved it, Phil.
No further. No notes.
Great news. We've got Phil back. But it's only 8 days before WrestleMania. Don't worry, I've sold him on a match. You know, Bobby Lashley's free. We're bringing in the fight pit.
He can finally win an AMMA match.
Hope you like the Brawl for All.
Maybe I've been, like, sort of manifesting the idea that Steve Austin comes out and stuns LA Knight. It's LA Knight in the ring, like, waiting for the opponent. You get the... Psh, psh, as everybody else loses their goddamn mind.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so good. What do you make about FTR potentially jumping back to WWE?
I don't think it's going to happen, but it's a really, really, really effective way of getting the, like, 1% of doubt extracted out of this match against the Guns. I want it to happen, personally. I tweeted this on Wednesday without realising that's what the direction they were going to go with Dynamite. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about the FTR matches that I would quite like to see. The Revival getting a proper go of it this time, because outside of a run that, like, a few months alongside Randy Orton that people seem to hold in certain esteem, and that time, one of them, Dax, was it, that kicked the New Day's ice cream truck over? It wasn't a run at all, really, was it? It left no real memories other than...
Usy Hart, don't Usy, forget.
Yeah, it left no memories other than, like, oh, we've WWE'd them.
Yeah.
So there they go. I fancy a second go of that, to be honest. I think they've had this amazing... They've had a good run in AEW. They've had an amazing run in 2022, full stop. That included AEW. And I just think their legacy is so... cemented at this point. Like, there could be some real money years in a WWE run. The tag team titles, they should be, and even if they don't, spiritually, we'll all know deep down they should have done, are set to main event one night of WrestleMania. The belts are in a good place.
Yeah.
You know, you assume the babyfaces are going to win, but even with the Usos as champions, this indestructible team, like, they've elevated those belts, and you would assume Kevin and Sammy, as massive stars, will keep it that way. And then there's this raft of teams underneath. You only need to look at the showcase match and think, yeah, they probably should have told some stories instead. But they're four very capable teams. And that's excluding the maximum members that I haven't even got on the card. So you've got a minimum of five teams. There will be others. And I just kind of want to look at it again. I want to look at FTR second time around. They've done this on their own terms to such an extent. I would have loved to have seen the WWE run. All of that said, I think the same with AEW.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, like, the AEW runs... it's been good, but I don't think it's been as good as it could have been.
No.
Like, there's definitely a lot more that they can do in sort of AEW. Mm. But yeah, I think I'd prefer it to go to WWE, to be honest, because I think it'd mix it up. Like you say, the tag belts have never been at this level ever in WWE, or maybe since, like, TLC days of Edge, Christian, Hardys and Dudleys. Like, they've not been this high since then. I'm not saying it's at that height yet, but it's, like you say, it's almost about to main event at WrestleMania, possibly, which... has never, ever happened in the history of ever. And the tag team scene underneath just seems to be looking healthier, like Imperium's in there, like a Legado del Fantasma. Like, there's a lot of new teams going in that weren't around in the FTR days that they could have some really good matches with. And if there's a newfound push for tag team wrestling within WWE and FTR see that and are assured of that, like, quite a lot, I think is a big, big part of it. I think they could forge something new and fresh and important in WWE as well.
One person who will be not jumping back to WWE anytime soon, you feel, is Naomi, Trinity Fatu, who I think revealed that she's no longer with WWE in, like, a reply on Instagram, which is so ridiculous that that's the way we find out, confirming what we all kind of suspected. But this is probably the right thing for her, isn't it? It's a shame, because I feel like I'd love to see what a Triple H helmed WWE could do with Naomi. But at the end of the day, the way they treated Sasha and her as tag champions was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one of them ones, isn't it, with Naomi, where everyone will feel like there was money left on the table with her. But it kind of feels like it'll just sit there.
Yeah.
And if she wants to go pick it back up down the line, she can do. And that's the perfect position for a talent to be in.
Like the moment that music and that entrance hits, it doesn't really matter when. It's like that's going to get a pop. Because it just will.
People have shown their affection for this character and for Naomi as a wrestler who was starting to like assemble a lot of years in the system as well. Or like build up a lot of years in the system and the support that comes with that. So I just think whatever she does now, in or out of wrestling, feels like that's obviously the move that's going to suit her and great, because I do genuinely believe WWE, like the door won't be, it just won't be closed.
No.
The fact that like they left, it seems a million years ago now because of all the stuff that came afterwards, they left in June, principally like making their case to John Laurinaitis and Vince McMahon, who were both ousted within weeks. And I know that Vince will probably be back in, but like you have to assume that Triple H is going to be in charge of all this until we're told otherwise. And if that remains the case, I mean, it's a shame. He can't book women anymore, but he certainly likes to sign them. So if down the road he's feeling like, right, I need to plug some gaps, she'll get a call. She'll get, you know, even if it's like for a Rumble return, just to see how everybody feels, because the pop, as Phil says, would be enormous. So even if she comes back, gets this massive reaction, and then everybody gets to have a chat afterwards, and you just see, how was that? Like, do you fancy a bit more of this? WrestleMania is going to be around the corner. You know, it's, I think she's kind of nailed this. I think it's all still there to play for whenever she wants it back.
To play devil's advocate as well, Phil, do you think there's a certain extent to which WWE are thinking that Mr. Naomi is going to be going home every week going, God damn, this job's fun right now.
The best run of his entire life. Like, oh, look at what you could win under this new Triple H thing. This is amazing. She's been in, like, she's been on the cusp of, like, a sort of main event women's position in the company for so goddamn long now. Like, she's had the title runs, obviously, but she's always felt like that little notch below the sort of four horsewomen kind of thing. And I think that's almost better in the fact that there is stuff still left on the table for her to do there, in the way that, like, she can come back and the sort of renewed passion for her again. She's always had that connection with the fans throughout. And then especially when she didn't, like, got the glow gimmick and things. That really, really connected with people. And like, if people like see her come back, it would be that, oh my God, this is amazing, Naomi's back. But then it'd be that, oh, this could actually be the one now. This could be the proper run that we've been waiting for goddamn ages.
It's a weird sort of blueprint, isn't it? If you want to really get over in WWE,
gotta bugger off.
Yeah, be like a mid-carder, have some sort of scandal. Not that any of this was Naomi or Sasha's fault, obviously. Have a tumultuous exit and then just come back. And oh, look, there we go. Straight up the card. I said this on the news this morning. I think that, and it's not just, you know, she's not just an entrance. Like, she's a phenomenally talented individual. But my God, that entrance is fun.
Yeah.
But let's talk about someone going the other way. You alluded to it earlier. Goldberg's All Elite, potentially.
Again, it's probably some of the same people that don't like the idea of CM Punk being involved in AEW are not that thrilled about the prospect of Goldberg being in as well. I'd really like people to go and read this article, because I feel like not only have I tried to, you know, I don't want to waste anybody's time, so not only have I tried to like put forth a good argument as to why this might not be so bad, I'm pretty sure the best fantasy booking you've ever read on the internet exists in the body of this article. And it does not even involve a son putting his father on his shoulders. So think of the ground that covers. The roster, to me, feels set up for Goldberg to have approximately a 20-match sprint run. Every Dynamite, every Rampage, every Dynamite, every Rampage. Bang, 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 bang. And I'm not going to spoil all of it, but I think you can, in that time, get him as a babyface, get him as a heel, get a title match, get an out, and pass a torch, all in the process.
Wow.
I'm that committed to this idea that now if they were to bring him in, everybody like, whoa, Goldberg, I'd be like, are you doing that? No, we got something different from him. I'm out now.
Yeah, do my thing.
My idea from him was better. Uso's better. So, like, but I think it can work. Ultimately, I genuinely think it can work. This is what I'm saying about AEW. I'd like them to, obviously, they've got to remain the challenger brand. It's a big part of their identity to be, Tony Khan kept saying, the Pepsi to WWE's Coke or the Burger King to McDonald's, as if to say, still massive, but the idea is you're always, it means you can always kind of punch up.
Mm-hmm.
So that number one. You always keep that tiny little shred of anti-establishment if you're not quite the biggest dog in the yard. But I don't think they shouldn't be put off making moves like this all the same, especially if he is there play ball. He's got to be all in. I think you can't sign the deal unless, like, you're going to get paid well, but here's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Here's what we want from this experience, and whether that's putting over MJF for the benefit of MJF first and foremost, because he's our guy. If it's for helping elevate a Wardlow or a Powerhouse Hobbs as somebody that can look like the next Goldberg, all that, like, whatever their individual goals are, he's got to agree to 100% of them. You cannot get there and be like, it was so funny that it happened, but Goldberg basically looking, taking one look at The Fiend and being, nope, absolutely no way am I taking that seriously. Sorry, like, if you're here, you're here for this, you're here for the kind of greater good. And that version of it, it might be a bit utopian, but that version of it, I absolutely love.
And for those AEW fans saying, like, oh, God, no. I think the way I'm reading it with what Tony's saying, he's just sort of being polite and going, yeah, we'll look into it, but he's not going to try it.
Yeah.
Look what he's done with Sting.
I was going to say, you've got to give AEW the benefit of the doubt with the track record of bringing in legends.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they've ever screwed it up, like, at all. And they've never overplayed their hand either with it, which I think is the key, like, most important thing of it. Like, WWE has massively overplayed their hand when it comes to legends in the past, and burnt fans on the whole idea of legends, or at least like a portion of the fan base, just because of how they've booked them, like Goldberg and Bray Wyatt being one of the key points of that. But I think, like, Wardlow's perfectly there, like, built for to passing of the torch kind of thing. He's already got the like bit where he walks backstage before the entrance. Like, he's already kind of vaguely Goldberg light, but does a lot more in the ring. Like, it's right there in terms of a passing the torch moment. Like, he was on the cusp of main event kind of thing with the TNT run, and then ever since then it's all been a little bit weird and not handled amazingly. But, like, put him in with a Goldberg in a thing where even if they team up together and, like, Goldberg and Wardlow versus Powerhouse Hobbs and Samoa Joe or something, like, anything like that.
Sorry, 1 second.
Oh my God.
You got to think as well about the Goldberg that Tony Khan has watched and loved, other than the guy that he's met and the fact that he's been in football and wrestling, and so is Tony Khan. This is Tony Khan, the huge WCW fan. He's not giving a toss about 2003 Goldberg going 20 minutes to Triple H. He definitely doesn't care about 2018 Blood Money against The Undertaker.
Yeah.
He remembers how Nitro made him feel.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I think I can do that. And that Goldberg made everybody buzz. So he's say that even at his advancing years, he's still got that charisma. He's still got a spear in him. That's it. That's pretty much the offering.
All I'm saying is go and check out Michael Hamlet's article at whatculture.com, which is titled...
I've now forgotten, but it's something like...
The one thing you don't want
yeah. is going to kick ass. It's not quite that, but it's along the Goldberg and MJF in the thumb.
Yes. Yeah. Not to poo-poo what's happening. I'm going to go and check that out later because I'm fascinated by this fantasy booking. All I have is an alternative suggestion, and it's a simple match. It's a fatal four-way, although they don't not allowed to call it that or whatever the rules are. Goldberg. Sting.
Yep.
Big Show. Jeff Jarrett. Main event of Dynamite.
Oh my God, press the button, please.
Oh my God.
Then they might get that fabled million.
Cy White, also of this parish, who quite frankly at this point has, I've realised, far superior takes on pro wrestling and taste in it than I do. She told me yesterday that she's now sold on it.
Wow.
Because of this article. So I've basically turned somebody's head on Goldberg.
Yes.
So that's like, I feel like I've presented a political sales pitch almost for the deal to go through just because I want to look at it. It's the thing with the AEW and WWE stuff now. I just want to look at people in different places.
Yeah.
They've created that world. It's like, that'll be weird. Aye, but what about the massive business ramifications? Yeah, but for one night, that'll be weird. I want that.
It's what you do with your action figures as a kid.
Yeah.
But in real life.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Before we get to this week's hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, very quickly, as I said, I plan to talk about WrestleMania on this podcast, but it's kind of been overtaken by this week's events. But one of those events is a rumored WrestleMania return for Randy Orton. And Stone Cold definitely saying, are you in contact with me for WrestleMania 39? My in-ring days are done. So I'm picturing someone getting an RKO one night, someone getting stunned the next, basically.
You guys are going to WrestleMania and I'm not, so I hope you get Orton. To be fair, right, all Randy Orton jokes aside, he's been gone long enough, and for the first time in ages he's been gone at all, that like he'd probably get a massive response. And if he's fit enough to do an RKO, people will have missed that specifically. Yeah. It's not such a bad thing. Like rarely would I say that about Randy Orton, but it's not such a bad thing. Like, time... I wouldn't say it makes my heart grow fonder for Randy Orton, but it's like, oh yeah, Randy Orton. Like, and if it's as quick as that, if it's as quick as your typical arc going out, then we're good. That ramp looks like it's going to be pretty long. So it'd take him the fat end of half an hour to get to the ring if he does his, like, you know, like slow Randy Orton methodical pace. But if he just gets out there and... What about, you know, the LA Knight fantasy booking with Austin? What if it's like LA Knight 1, Randy Orton, LA Knight 2, Steve Austin, and he's got dropped on his head twice in two nights by a star?
Yeah, I was picturing as well, there's an alternative. LA Knight doing something with like Bobby Lashley, as has been suggested. We talked a little bit on the SmackDown preview earlier on today. Peppered throughout WrestleMania is The Miz saying, I'm bloody fed up of these Hollywood stars trying to steal my spotlight, and people who have been in films but also are wrestlers constantly come out and hit their finisher. So he gets Batista bombed, and he gets RKO'd, and he gets Stone Cold stunned, and he...
Ted DiBiase Jr. from the Marine 3.
Yeah, I do you buy any of this Stone Cold report? I said this on the news this morning, it sounds exactly like Edge said before the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I think any time a wrestler says that they're not doing a thing, it's kind of telegraphing a thing at this point. Like, I don't know. I don't know what it'll be again, but we didn't know what the Austin thing was going to be last year. We knew it was going to be a thing, but we didn't know it was going to be a full-on match where he gets suplexed on concrete. So, like, anything goes with Austin at now, as far as I'm concerned. He obviously had a great time doing it last year, and if he is just coming in to do a stunner on someone or whatever... Like, I reckon he'd be super up for it. It's not far from his house. He'll be fine.
Credit to Triple H and his banana nose circus, because honestly, and he does deserve some praise for this, if Steve Austin can be used as a surprise rather than an advertised appearance, that's quite impressive.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, if you've assembled a WrestleMania that people are more than content enough either way, and then you get the surprise of the glass smashing, you've done something right.
Yeah.
Because how often now when WWE have got somebody... The scale and the size of a Steve Austin, especially The Rock, whoever, are they able to hold it in? Almost never.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know for television it's a ratings thing, but even at the big shows, it's just, well, like, those last few tickets that we might be able to shift because of this one name or whatever it is, like, they're not doing that. And they didn't, 35 we were all at, and they didn't tell you John Cena was going to be the Doctor of Thugonomics. Like, sometimes at WrestleMania, the benefit of the surprise is the real magic of it. And I think Austin this year suits being a surprise more than an announced face on a graphic.
There's also the art of the Raw after WrestleMania that has been demolished in recent years. That, like, there's been rumors of Triple H saying there's going to be some surprises on that as well. Like, there's the chance of doing something on a bit smaller of a scale, but with a super hot crowd, because that crowd is always mega hot, and bringing back an event like the Raw after WrestleMania to be, like, a destination thing rather than just, oh, well, we'll just put any old crap on because people will buy tickets no matter what.
Yeah, I'm ready to be hurt again, getting my hopes up for the Royal WrestleMania. And I will never forget the sort of the series of noises that came from the three of us, and Simon Miller, of course, from last year's WrestleMania. So obviously we know what's happening, vaguely. He's doing a talk show with Kevin Owens. Ah, yeah! Cut to, I tricked you, Steve. Cut to second, I think you said, mud stomp in the corner, in the second corner.
Yeah, I remember the dread.
To the suplex and the eventual stunner, and they're like, yeah! roller coaster emotions. I'm going to have to rewatch that again.
I think like he like called it a fluke in this very story that we're talking about. And I just think like Austin's always had incredible instincts about when and where like to hold and to fold. And I think he's like, when it comes to his career, he's always taken that sort of stuff incredibly seriously. And like, there's nothing wrong in that either as well.
Yeah.
Protect the integrity of your character. And last year had like a story and build, and they were like very clever and coy with how they played it. This year, without a match or without anything significant, as I say, better as a surprise. If it's if it's fluff, Steve Austin can do fluff, but he can make it, he can elevate it still.
Yeah, I'm absolutely fine with him saying, I'm never having another match because that was such a perfect, you know, I don't want to ruin my legacy and try and keep going or do some Saudi thing or do some hokey.
It was Dallas as well. He debuted in Dallas and he liked how that sort of came full circle, didn't it?
But yeah, it doesn't mean he won't stunner anyone.
Still my favourite part of that match was when he was drinking his beers and you could tell he's, oh, I've done this one too many times now. And he like almost spits out loud. Oh God, what am I doing? What am I doing?
Really called these.
Right, let us know everything you, your thoughts on everything we've discussed on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. But enough all this. It's now time for a good quiz. And this week's quiz is brought to you by D-Texas. If you want your name associated with the hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, all you do, subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review on there. Or leave us a 5-star review on Spotify. Screenshot it.
We need the proof.
And then email it to me, adam.wilborn at whatculture.com, just like D-Texas did. D-Texas on Apple Podcasts writes, the title is Jim Ross's Bloody Good Quiz. Okay, guys, you know which voice to use. Was that the best Friday quiz ever? Absolutely laughed out loud. So much fun. Thank you so much. Got some bad news about our dog yesterday and cried a lot over the last 2 days. This made me laugh. Thank you. You're more than welcome. Sorry to hear about that, but glad we could bring some joy to you. And yeah, I'm so good. I missed Jim Ross, as did Sidgwick miss Jim Ross on this podcast.
I know. I know. It was weird, right? Because obviously you were off that day. Mm-hmm. Me and Phil were on that Wrestle Culture. Sidg couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Nicholas was in. So it was just enough of us. And like, oh, is there anything? I had to like dig down deep to go into our, like, Judgment Daisy wasn't around.
No.
Like the elephant was on. We thought it was Stax. Like the door opened.
Indeed.
And like there was Stax. It was not Jim Ross had, like, I'd left him a voicemail and he didn't reply, but that's classic JR.
Classic JR.
He does that. Like
every time.
Yeah. He always kind of like leaves it to the element of surprise, extra bit of fun. Very, very musically gifted, that man. Mm.
2-3 weeks ago, if you want to go and check it out, I believe.
Yeah, still in our archives. Yeah. I think I might have put...
it'll say in the title, special guest or something.
I think I titled it A Bloody Good Old Quiz.
There you go.
So if you go back and look for that, you'll find JR.
Right, let's get on with this week's quiz, though. All about considering how emotional, a bit Cody Rhodes there, emotional everyone got seeing the wonderful reunion of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on last week's SmackDown and subsequently on Raw, and no doubt probably on SmackDown again tonight. All about wrestling reunions. Apologies in advance, Phil. I did write this quiz with an eye to having you versus Andy on here, and now you've got the bloody encyclopedia. Maybe I'll angle this laptop so you can see the answers slightly easier.
So I'll need that. I'll still lose, but it'd be nice.
Multiple choice questions. Shout your name. Wait for me to come to you. And remember, most importantly, guys, it's just for fun.
It's fun.
Just for fun. Okay, question number one. Ah, you might have a chance on this one.
All right.
Question number one.
Mick Foley.
Too cool.
What ranked number one in the What Culture list, the 10 best wrestling reunions written by our very own Jamie Kennedy? Okay. Was it Evolution, Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth, the Dudley Boys, or D-Generation X? D-Generation X, though, of course, the team, if you're unaware, tell you to suck it, which we subsequently discovered, as Michael Sidgwick put it, means...
Don't suck my dick!
That's right. Hamlet. On that, is it Randy Savage and Elizabeth?
Yay! Had to be, didn't it, really?
Question two. It was Roy's Triple X, that wasn't it? Yeah. Roy did, wait a second!
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
They're on about the dicks!
Wide open. Question number two. Devon Dudley returned to help Bubba Ray Dudley beat 3 Minute Warning and Rico at what pay?
Hamlet. Survive.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Sorry. I'll just go now, shall I?
Survivor Series 2002.
Yeah.
Yay!
Come on, Jeff, goddammit! It's my Rico impression.
Oh, of course, yeah, that was earlier on in the match.
He
wasn't
was
it?
Stood on the post waiting to be powerbombed, I think. And there was no Jeff Hardy underneath him because he was in the crowd, still brawling on the way back.
Oh, right, question three.
Sorry, Phil.
It's all good. It's
I'm not competitive, as you know. So this sort of stuff is literally just for fun. But then, like, the wrestling bit comes up, and all of a sudden, I feel like a like pub quiz where there's my round has finally landed.
Play the Joker. Play the Joker.
I can prove myself. my life does have been it.
Question three. 2-0 Tampa. Question three.
I got my folks on speakerphone.
Who did the Rockers reunite to face on Raw in 2005? Was it?
Hamlet.
I don't know why I bother, Ryan. Not,
was it La Resistance?
Yay!
What's that match? Marty just...
Then immediately turns on him again, doesn't he?
No, Marty can't quite keep up at first. And you're like, oh, no, it's been too long. And then they pull it together by the end. And Marty's so good, they bring him back for SmackDown. And he has that ripper with it. Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle beats him, but it's good stuff, man. It's like...
freaking hard, bro.
Yeah. Who are the options there? did you go just the well of the 2005 mid-card?
Basham Brothers. M&M. Juice and Domino. Who was the bad one? Deuce.
Yeah. Domino was Cliff Compton.
Yeah.
Juice was the one who didn't quite catch the Undertaker.
Tasks. I need to go back and watch that London and Kendrick shoot interview now. Yeah. Question four. The Shield reunited in 2018 to stop what from happening? Was it Braun Strowman's cash-in, Roman Reigns getting fired, the Wyatt family corrupting someone, or a No Way Jose conga line?
I'm flit. It's the cash-in, wasn't it?
Yay!
Wash it back. It's kind of bollocks.
It's rubbish. It's rubbish.
They're meant to be the good guys, right?
Yeah, he gets his cash-in in the end in the Hell in a Cell.
Which, that ended well.
Which also doesn't have a finish. It's like, do you just want to keep having another go with it?
That was part of me and Nicholas's streak, yeah. I remember, of our streams, where we were like, well, it can't end like this, because it's hell and there's the graphics that it's finished. What's happening? What? Why are we seeing like a Stone Cold interview session? Go back. The match hasn't finished just because Brock rips the door off.
Was that the same show where Randy Orton did the old screwdriver and Jeff Hardy's ear as well? Yeah. That's how WWE win, because they realised they became like an engagement farm. So now people are like, this Hell in a Cell was absolutely goated. Pass it on. It's like the main event didn't have a finish, pal. It wasn't. Like, just because somebody put a screwdriver in a flesh tunnel. Yeah.
I saw someone sharing the Jay White swearing clip from New Japan with a list of some of the, guys, have you seen this video things before? Some of which were like, oh, the roster in 2000 and whatever in WWE was goated. Or like, ever seen Samoa Joe cook the entire...
Oh, man.
Yes! Yes!
In walking down that, like, him walking down the ramp is me as CJ walking back in to GTA. Here we go again.
Okay. Phil, you might have to nick this one. Question five. Paul Bearer and The Undertaker reunited at WrestleMania 20. But a few months later, Paul Bearer was buried in what? Beans, oil, cement, or shit?
Phil. Cement.
Yay!
I mean, no, I'd argue with D as well. Yeah. Have you seen the match?
Is that a 2-on-1 with the Dudleys?
Yeah.
I love the footage of them practicing that beforehand. Yeah. The Undertaker, like, pretending to pull the lever.
Pull the lever now. And then, blah, 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 what's going to happen?
Oh, no, it's porridge. Purple porridge.
What was his justification for that? Just like, sorry, Paul, you're a weak link.
Yeah, they, like, because you've held... Because the prospect of you drowning in cement has been something that can be used against me. Best you actually shoot drowning in cement. That's not a problem. That's not a problem going forward.
It was a dark time, that, wasn't it? Just like...
It was a rubbish time.
Like, who we got for Taker? No one. But what if we put two people in there?
Yeah. I'm not interested in Heidenreich. I'm not interested in Snitsky. Heidenreich and Snitsky together. That's worse, because then Kane has to get involved.
Question six. 4-1. Edge and Christian reunited during the 2021 Royal Rumble, of course. But who came out first?
Ooh.
Hamlet. Edge.
Yay!
weird, like,
it literally came out first.
It's coast to coast, but it wasn't, was it? Because he got him and Orton were out of it halfway through, then they were back in by the end. I don't like those ones when, if you go in number one, you've got to win, you got to do it. Like, you're coming at number two or something if you want that. When it's a number one person, that, like,
that's when you can just lie on the ground on the bottom of the bottom ropes for a bit anyway.
That's it, like that. Whenever you see the Wikipedia thing and it's like 60 minutes and no. Yeah. Like, they did it to Roman Reigns that year and they thought it was a baby face thing.
It's the most idiotic thing ever.
Unless you're Santina Marella.
Yeah.
No one else can do it.
A baby face has to, like, endure. If you're in there, the hardest thing they can do is be in the match.
He has got grit after all, apparently.
Well, yeah. Too much of it. Bloody much of it, if you ask me.
They did get me on the cement. Whole, stop celebrating, you've not won yet, the bell hasn't rung, dickheads.
Yeah. They loved that one, didn't they?
But, yeah, the Roman one. Well, he's been out of it now. They did it with Cody in AEW, didn't they, as well? In, like, a Face the Revolution match. They're like, Cody's gone. Well, here he comes.
Oh, the injury,
back.
Yeah, that was the first time he got booed. It was one of the first times he ever got some booze.
Stupid.
It was like,
I've not learned from everything that's happened previously.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Rusev stole the monitor?
Yes.
He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, that's all right.
He's all right.
I like that.
Give Vince a big, like, squeeze.
Yeah.
Like, punch the air. Yeah, League of Nations.
That went well.
Yeah. Just awful.
They're really good. That's a really good concept.
Yeah.
And then they just went, oh, yeah, but we just need a load of bodies.
Just to, people for Roman to spear, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And that what I distinctly remember the conversation around the one where he won the title from Sheamus on a Raw, I think.
Yeah.
Vince was the special guest ref, or they had him as an enforcer.
He can his titties bap.
Yeah. And people were like, listen to that noise. That's how over Roman Reigns is. And I think it was Brian Alvarez whose take I just hijacked, basically, of like, yeah, all he needs to do is punch the boss on every weekly show and he'll be fine.
Aye.
Idiots.
Imagine if those three teamed up now with their characters, like now.
Oh, man.
League of Nations. That'd be tasty.
Yes. I quite like that. Like, Wade Barrett in his suit was more of a managerial figure. Yeah. Sheamus and Miro. I'm into that. Don't need to.
You've missed a name out there, but I'm absolutely fine with us not mentioning it.
Don't care about it. Useless.
Question seven.
Absolutely awful.
In which UK city did the Brothers of Destruction reunite ahead of facing the Wyatt family at Survivor Series? Was it? You can tell I've written this quiz before. I thought Andy was going on it. London, Sheffield, Manchester, or Aberdeen?
Phil, why not? Sheffield.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Thought I'd go for an outsider.
You're fighting them at Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to be Manchester.
Yay!
The tour is always London in the April and then...
They do a run of Sheffield shows, though, didn't
they? Yeah, they would do Sheffield, Manchester and Birmingham on a rotation in the November because it's like just a less important time of year and they're always in London in April.
It's a good point, that, yeah. Just talked to Andy about this earlier. Where are we? Manchester. Big phone box, bus and a taxi, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Big Ben, is it? All right. Yeah.
Just down the road from London, UK.
Yeah. I remember that one where we were like, oh, it looks like the Undertaker's winding down. Nope! We got Kane coming back again.
We got two Kanes. No, it's just Kane.
Speaking of which, actually... What star rating did the match where a reunited DX fought a reunited Brothers of Destruction?
Ooh.
Was it 0.75 stars, 1.75 stars, 2.75 stars, or 3.75 stars for the one where Kane's mask fell off?
Hamlet. I'll go the first one.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Ooh, I'll go 1.75 stars then.
Yay! There you go.
I think that's generous.
Question nine. 6-2. I'm trying to remember what score was there for a second.
Still all playing for Phil. My maths aren't great, but I'm pretty sure this we can draw this.
Who was beating up Matt Hardy in AEW when Jeff Hardy danced to the ring to save him and reunite the Hardy Boys? Was it Miro, Chris Jericho, Brian Cage, or Andrade?
Ooh. I can only picture Jeff.
I had this. I genuinely have to go back and watch this.
Miro?
No, dear, that's wrong.
Andrade?
Yay!
That's a punt, to be honest. Yeah,
like, that was going to be the other one. It was between those two.
Yeah. It was the law of the family office.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's kind of still going on with this firm bollocks, isn't it?
Ugh.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, it's all a run on from that.
Still going on.
Long term storytelling.
He's got the family these days. Roosh. Is it the Roosh family office?
Yes, although his family seems to be mostly Preston Vance. That's about it, really, isn't it? Yeah. And that green cable that they always put under when he's wrestling matches. God, sometimes it is just like, where's this person gone?
Yeah.
He's best buds with Kalisto on Ring of Honor now. So
is he?
That's a thing.
I love that you're our Ring of Honor correspondent, Phil. I really like that.
Very excited about the Vikingo Commander match.
Jesus Christ.
Somebody's
going there.
I have to watch the goddamn Ring of Honor TV show and I can't go to Supercard of Honor.
I was just going to say, you'd feel a pretty big mug to be in Los Angeles and be going to frigging, I don't know, SmackDown and some bullshit Hall of Fame rather than getting to see that match in the flesh. But I mean, the thing is, like, if I was in that situation, like, as long as an almost identical situation had occurred to me before, I probably wouldn't make that mistake second time around.
It was that. Unintentional simultaneous tweet between the two of you being like, well, SmackDown's wank. So you'd be like, this is the greatest thing. It was in the middle of the Briscoes and FTR.
I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to pass out. It felt, Will Bourne will attest to this, like it felt like we'd entered hell. Like the building suddenly got so incredibly hot. You had that whole feeling where it's like, is this shaking?
Yeah.
Is the roof going to start falling in? Like there's very few atmospheres that stick with me quite like that one. And just to see the screenshot, I think it was Matt Reigns, regular contributor.
Yeah.
I believe. I think that's his full name. I forget. Let's share the screenshot maybe of like the tweets next to each other. What the frig is this?
Genuinely think it's the worst live show ever.
You got a beautiful picture of the venue.
The
Hall of Fame was great. Well, the Undertaker bit of the Hall of Fame was great.
Yeah. Like it really, like it's got to be that terrible a show. So you're going to leave a seat and take a nice picture. I don't care.
Go
about
for a walk and see if
here.
I can get a nice shot of the arena.
Speaking of great experiences across WrestleMania weekend, if you are heading to Los Angeles and you haven't got a ticket yet, please do. Get yourself a ticket for Wale Mania because it is genuinely one of the best moments of the weekend. We had an amazing time there last year and I assume tickets are still available.
They are indeed. I think they're on Eventbrite, but if you just search for Wale Mania, you will find them.
On
big lineup as well. The Usos are going to be there and Solo Sikoa and Trinity Fatu.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
On my behalf, anyone that is going, if you see these two, please scream that you're in the effing Judgment Day. Ideally so they can film it and send it to me.
Yeah.
I like that very much, please. Thank you.
It'll be deafening when Finn comes out.
I mean, if you get double alter bridge for the Edge Finn match, the band just stay out there. They've got like a set list with the two songs printed on it. Judgment Day, Edge. Yeah, good night, Los Angeles.
Final question, all to play for still. This is almost very much a five-star review on the Raw review-esque this, because the first question was, of course, about the best wrestling reunion being Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd find a YouTube clip and see what some of the comments had to say. So from Daddy's Rostership, I want you to complete this quote, or this comment, I should say, in the comment section of the Savage Miss Elizabeth reunion. Mm-hmm. Oh, give me Miss Elizabeth all day over anyone else. She's blank sexy. Okay, is it? She's marry that sexy. She's mega powers sexy. She's super boner sexy. Or she's cause light sexy.
For the sake
Phil,
of...
I'm going to dive in.
Go on, Phil.
Just on the off chance. I don't think you'd write the cause light one, so I'd go with the cause light one.
Yay! What does that even mean?
I don't know what that means.
Hang on, so the cause light one is the correct answer?
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, for the benefit of your wife, right, I hope the answer is super boner. Because otherwise that came out of your brain.
Yeah.
Of course it did. Have you ever met Wilbon before? Yeah.
I think you know the guy.
Super... What's cause light sexy?
Is it some kind of advert or something on American TV? Maybe?
That sounds like a slogan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because the Coors Light is not that sexy as beers go, is it? No, it's like, oh, here's this like very weak lager that is already pretty flavourless when it's at full pelt, let alone the light version.
Or maybe he just really likes women with really long necks and no hips.
Different strokes, different folks.
What about Coors Mountain Dew Pitch Black?
I mean, yeah.
Son of a bitch, we've cracked it.
Like, you'd have to, I'd flip reverse that. I'd be like, oh my God, Mountain Dew is Miss Elizabeth sexy. Like,
Well, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, it's fair.
But you got the Coors Light one.
Yeah, the Coors Light one.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's like sort of 5.5 plays 4.5, isn't it? That was how that
worked. Basically, out. Yeah. But congratulations to Michael Havlett, the winner of this week's quiz. Let us know how you got on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE, of course. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and Michael Havlett previewing SmackDown is available right now, just like myself and Michael Sidgwick. Sort of previewing AEW Rampage, but mainly, yeah, talking about that whole CM Punk kind of thing. As I said, you can follow us all on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow the winner of this week's quiz, Michael Hamflett, at...
I hit the vocal when I did this thing when I was hosting.
Yes!
At Michael Hamflett, you can follow Phil Chambers at...
Phil My Chambers. He did not nail the ending. You can follow Adam at...
Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Have a great weekend. 8 days to go to WrestleMania. My thanks to Phil, to Michael Hamblett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon. Wrestle Culture is recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Wrestling!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.